All right, everybody, welcome back. It has been a little bit since my last podcast. I was doing really good at keeping on a good schedule, and this last week I just got slammed, so I want to jump back in. All right, today I want to talk about two things in particular. One is a skill that has become a lifelong pursuit for me. I learned it first from my dad slash Stephen Covey, and I'm going to talk about that and the impact that it's made on my life. Number two, I'm going to talk about what I consider the five intelligences. This is something that I didn't actually plan on talking about for a long time, but I think I'll continue to refine it. It's a long-held philosophy. I mean, I've been developing this idea and this philosophy for probably like 4 years now. And it's funny, I hadn't thought about it a long time, and then yesterday I was out to lunch with a friend, and we were talking about managing people and being a good leader and things like that. And he was asking, like, so what have you learned about managing people and dealing with people? And I brought these five intelligences up and my philosophy on it. So we'll talk about those two things today. And with that, we'll just jump right in. So going back, when I was pretty young, this is going to sound funny, but my dad was he was very, very strict about media. For those of you out there that know my dad, you know the way it was when I was growing up. I have seen very few stricter parents than mine growing up. And I say that now and they're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, are you kidding? We went to bed at 6 p.m. every day until I was like 12 or 13, right? My parents were very, very strict. We went on raw as a family. I don't know if you guys know like the raw vegan style diet. And that was awful. Like practically destroyed my childhood. I'm joking mostly. But I'll tell you what, when you have a birthday cake that's raw vegan, there is nothing quite as depressing in the mind of a child as a raw vegan birthday cake, let me tell you. So, but it gave me a good foundation. My parents are just so loving. They were never physically protective, right? They wanted us to make mistakes. They wanted us to scratch our elbows. They wanted us to go out and get mildly hurt. Hopefully nothing drastic, but literally, like, I mean, my parents were not helicopter parents in the sense of like physical danger, but very, very protective of the mind and health, probably more than as far as like nutrition and things. So I really just was blessed with absolutely incredible parents. And I really, some days I just really wonder, you know, how you get lucky like that. My parents both are just wonderful people and they love me and I love them. So, but going back, so I am just like, I am, the ADHD is kicking in today. I'm all over the map. But my dad, because he was so particular about what went into our minds and he knew the effect of media, he did a study actually when he was in high school. I remember him telling me about, my dad was raised on a small farm, like I was. And in fact, the home that I was raised in was the same one he was raised in. He bought it he got that from his parents. The house they built, it's, you know, a pretty old one. And growing up, he did this study for school on the impact of music. This is really fascinating to me. But what he did is he found out that music is so incredibly impactful on what it does to your biochemistry, how it affects the brain. And the reason how he tested it, if I remember right, is he would do tests with plants. And I'm trying to remember the story correctly and hope I'm getting this right, but essentially he would grow different plants and he'd play some with like classical music being played all the time next to them, another one with rock music being played next to them all the time, and he said the results were just mind-boggling. 90 difference. And then I've actually read a lot of studies on even, I was raised milking cows, and if you play classical music with a cow, versus rock music, their milk production will be drastically different, which sounds crazy, but like it's a very real thing. And this goes into some deep stuff, and some of you might think it's a little bit hokey, but there is a power with the vibration, right? It's called the vibration of the universe, right? Everything that exists is in a state of vibration. We ourselves are in a constant state of vibration. What are radio waves? They're vibrations. What are like, what's music? Vibration. Everything out there is vibration and these waves. And it makes sense that we're responsive to them, right? As human beings that are in a state of vibration ourselves, when we respond, when we experience good vibration, we respond favorably to it. Bad vibration, opposite. So And also, I mean, you look at even more of a macro level. Why does music pump us up the way it does? You can listen to a song that just gets you lit up, I mean, and ready to start a fight. Or you can listen to another song and it'll just totally calm you down. Or another song that'll make you want to cry. Another song, it's amazing, right? How music affects us, even non-lyrical music. As a result, growing up, my dad was very particular about the kind of media we listened to. And so I remember the first time I got an iPod, and it took me so long to talk him into letting me buy one. I got one of those old, I think it might have been the first or second gen iPod Nano. Wow, that's a long time ago. Those things, it's really funny now because, I mean, I don't remember how much space they held, but it was just off the charts, right? Like a gigabyte, and it was just mind-blowing. And so we'd get these iPods, and it was the coolest thing ever for me growing up. My dad, though, he said, I'll make you a deal. If you get the iPod, I get to choose what goes on it. And I said, what's that going to be? And he's like, well, I'll choose what goes on it. I was like, all right, fair enough. So me and my brother both got iPods. We gave it to our dad. Our dad goes and he just went and loaded it up with all of the stuff that he thought was good, which is why to this day, I still love classical music, which is why to this day, I still listen to opera music frequently, which is why to this day, I love Stephen Covey and Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. It's funny, a lot of these books that are some of my favorite books that I recommend actually are the ones that my dad put on my iPod. And so when we're out there milking the cows or mowing the lawn or whatever it was, we were listening either to music or audiobooks. I didn't really appreciate... I actually met Stephen Covey when I was pretty young. He was a friend of the family. And to this day, it's so funny because he's become probably one of my greatest heroes. I mean, and perhaps my ultimate role model, as far as the kind of lifestyle that I want to live. And what's so funny is that I met him and I was like, just some weird bald guy. Genuinely, that was like my thought as a kid. Because I didn't know. I didn't know who he was. And it's so funny now looking as an adult, I'm like, I would just kill to meet him again. Of course, he's passed on. But as I was listening to these audiobooks, I listened to The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this is where all this kind of comes back to, but what it was is that he talked about the power of proactivity. This is one of the most obvious things you will ever learn in your life, but let me ask you a question. If you were able to retain everything that you had learned up to this point in your life, how wise would you be? And by retain, I mean, like, how many times have you learned that love is the answer to a lot of your problems? How many times have you had to relearn that? How many times have you had to learn to relearn being patient? How many times have you had to relearn gratitude? How many times have you had to relearn to put first things first in your life and to not let other things distract you? How many times have you had to relearn to treat people well? Like, we are constantly in states of not so much learning. There's not that much revolutionary stuff that's coming out. If you ever, I'm a huge believer in this. If you're not doing it, I highly, highly encourage you to journal every day, because what will happen... And also journal the lessons of your life. If you learn a new lesson, an aha moment, journal it. Go back and read your journals 3 years later, and you will be the smartest person you've ever met. It is the weirdest thing. I read my journals, I'm like, wow, 16-year-old Brunson was brilliant. Man, he had things figured out, right? Because we're not so much learning new things, we're relearning. So this whole principle of proactivity, this is going to sound really familiar, but just listen, hear me out all the way on this. I'm going to try to explain it in my own words, and I hope that this rings true to you, because this is beyond profound. The idea of proactivity is that we are the authors in our lives. I have said this many times. I'm going to keep on saying it. You hold the pen that writes the story of your life. You hold the pen. That's what proactivity is. It is the ability that we have as human beings innate within us, that we can choose a different path. Reactivity is when things happen, we react out of our natural instincts. Proactivity is when we get to choose how we react. Between stimulus and response, there is a pause. That's a Stephen Covey quote that I think he actually might have borrowed from Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, which is, by the way, a phenomenal book. Really heavy, but absolutely incredible. What I mean by that is something happens to you. Between the time that something happens and your response to that something that happens, there is a brief pause, and you have a choice on what to do. For example, This is maybe something very, very obvious, but someone yells at you, right? For me, I will admit I have a little bit of road rage in me. I get a little impatient when I'm driving, and I have a bit of a lead foot. I get a little reactive, right? But someone goes and now there's accident cutoffs and there's purposeful ones, and let's just say it's more on the purpose side, right? So people were doing it just to be rude. They go and slide in front of me, and in between that, even, and you might not believe this, but notice it next time. Between that action and what you do in return, there's a slight pause, and you get to choose. Do I go, I hope that they're okay, and hope that they're not, someone's not in trouble and they're trying to get somewhere? Or do I go like, that idiot, like, what on earth, why, this world is full of idiots, like, you know, what's going on, right? So between the stimulus and the response, between the thing that happens and the way you respond to that thing that happens, you have a pause. And in that pause is this superhuman power to completely reshape your life, completely change everything that goes on in your life. It is one of the most profound, it's like the most beautiful truth. We already all know this. Every one of us has to some degree or another accepted this, but what if we really harness that power? What if we really live our life in a way that we choose to be proactive, to take the higher road, to make the more responsible choice, to be the bigger man, as has been proverbially said. Anything happens in our life. Here's another example, right? This is his first principle, because he said, if you don't get the proactivity side of my seven habits, the other six habits you won't even do, because you have to choose those habits. You have to be proactive about those other habits. I'm teaching you this one as the core. It is the rock of everything else that he teaches in the seven habits, is this ability to be proactive. So being proactive is this ability to also say, if my life is not going the way that I want, I have the power to change it. I have the power to rewrite the story. That is proactivity, right? I actually, not too long ago, I had someone who was driving me insane, right? And I was having a difficult time knowing what to do. And I'm like, okay, like, how do I deal with this person? What's the right thing to do? I wanted to be reactive, right? I wanted to say, well, he did this, so I'm going to respond in turn, right? He did something that was offensive to me and was very selfish, so thereby I'm going to be offensive and selfish back, right? Eye for an eye. And then I thought, Brunson, what do you really want? Do you want to just rationalize why he's wrong? Because often that's sometimes what we think we want. We think, it's funny, we really get down to the nitty-gritty of what we do when we respond to people who mistreat us or to things that happen. Often what we want is, we just want people to feel bad for us. You notice that? Sometimes I'm like, I just want people to kind of like notice that I'm suffering. And then they go like, wait, stop, really? Is that really what you want? No. What I want is to be happy. But we get really caught up in funny things as far as we get a little bit caught up in this delusion of what we think we want. So bad things happen, right? Someone does something rude to us, and often we think, well, I just want to be justified. I want to be validated or whatever. And then we have to pause for a moment. And in that pause, from them doing something hurtful, we say, what do you really want? We go, okay, what do I really want? What I really want is for this, ideally, do you want this person to like get their comeuppance, right? Do you want them to receive the same treatment? Or would you rather have that person be your biggest fan? You can change someone who is vile and angry and bitter towards you, in many cases, towards one of your most loyal friends, if you were proactive. Reactive, no, it's just clash, 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 right? But proactive, you change the whole energy, you change the game. And all of a sudden, they respond with anger, you respond with kindness and love and compassion and empathy. And it literally takes the sword out of their hands. They have nothing to fight with. That is proactivity to me. I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen it where I recognize that I'm like I said, I'm a bit of a hothead sometimes, right? And I've recognized many times where I'm on a bad path with somebody, in the sense that I can see us developing tension. And I'm like, okay, is this what I really want? Is being right what I really want? No. What I want is deep, meaningful relationships. I want happiness. I want fulfillment. and I changed the whole energy. And I'm going, you know what? They responded with anger. I'm going to respond with love. They responded with malice. I'm going to respond with compassion. There is such immense power in this. It's hard for me to verbalize this because it's something that happens kind of internally for me. But really notice in your life, if anything is wrong in your life, if anyone's offending you, if you don't like your job, if you don't like the way you look or your weight or your health or anything like that, you hold the pen. You can rewrite the story. If you feel like you're not being fulfilled in life, you're not like on a mission, then rewrite the story. I'm preaching this to myself as much as anybody because often we're constantly, every person on earth is in that state where they're like, man, things are just not going the way I wish they would. You might think, oh, there's people up like, you know, all these billionaires and these people that are like high successful, people that are doing like world-changing movements. They don't experience that. Oh, yes, they do. Trust me, they do. We all experience this, but the difference is that those that are proactive say, I am responsible. And I love this, how Stephen Covey puts it. Response-able. Break the word up. Responsible means response-able. I'm able to choose my response to how things happen to me. And in that, I do control everything. Beautiful truth. I do this. I'm sorry. I've done this many times. I said we're going to talk about the five needs, the five intelligences. I think we're going to save it for the next episode. This one's getting a little long. So a quick recap on everything. You hold the pen. You are response able. You are responsible. Take full, complete, and entire responsibility for everything that's going on in your life. If there's something wrong, you can all day whine and complain and say it's not fair and play the victim card. At the end of the day, you've got nothing. You are in the miserable same spot that you are before. Yeah, you might feel better temporarily because at least everyone knows that life was unfair, that you just got screwed over. Yeah, it's just rough, right? But that does not change a thing. The world does not care. I know that's harsh. A friend told me that once. The world does not care if you're having a bad day. It'll go on just putting right along with or without you. You think you can sit and pout? It's going to just slow down and wait up for you? Not the case. But I'll tell you what you can do. Instead of sitting there playing that game, you can say, I'm going to choose to like flow with life. I'm going to choose to optimize life. I'm going to choose to make the very best out of it. And you will find incredible fulfillment and meaning in that. My friends, don't forget the power of proactivity. This has been a life-changing thing for me. This has been something that I've had to learn over and over and over and over again. Anything happens in your life, don't forget that you are responsible for it. You are response able. With that, I will see you on the next episode.